Good afternoon, everybody. It's 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Tuesday, September 6th, my anniversary. What do you think? I'm Alan Chartok. Now that the Labor Day has come and gone, the presidential election has escalated from a marathon to a sprint, and news that U.S. intelligence is investigating a potential covert Russian operation to sway the election has stirred things up. Today, we're going to talk about current international relations, how they've changed as the presidential election has evolved. 1-800-348-2551. I said 1-800-348-2551. And there's a bonus question today, folks. Ooh. Yeah, a bonus question today, which is, have you ever had a skunk in a trap and what have you done about it? Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok, very tired because I was dealing with a skunk last night. As the U.S. was enjoying the Labor Day holiday yesterday, intelligence and officials were hard at work investigating what they allege are potential attempts by Russia to influence the presidential election. The Chicago Tribune reported that officials are probing what they see as a broad, covert Russian operation in the United States to sow public distrust in the upcoming presidential election and in U.S. political institutions. Officials say cyber tools and hack systems may be involved, used to spread misinformation. Meanwhile, President Obama canceled a planned meeting with Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte over derogatory comments made. What is happening to international relations because of this presidential election? What do you think? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. I said 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. And you can do what I would have you do. Email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is, of course, a bonus question today, and that is, have you ever had a skunk trapped in a have a heart, thingy? And then when it got trapped, how did you get it out? That's what I really want to know. Or you can talk about all the IR problems that we, all the international relations problems that this country is facing. You know, I have to tell you, I am such a fan of this president, of President Obama, that it's extraordinary. The way that he talks about things, he talks as if he's your best friend or your neighbor, as opposed to, you know, political speak. And I don't think we're going to find that again for a long time. Roselle and I went to see the new movie about how he and Michelle Obama courted and how they got together and their first date and what it was all about. It was a wonderful film. And this is a guy we are going to be sadly missing later on. I'm not so sure he'll miss us, but I think we will miss him. 1-800-348-2551. Let me say this to you. Your chances of getting in now are excellent. But now we'll go to Tom. Okay, Tom, you're on. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it very much. You opened it up. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan. Great topic, to be honest with you. I raised this same topic 3 months ago when it first came out that Trump's campaign had some Russian representatives on their staff, and also the issue of the emails that were apparently hijacked. And I just wonder whether this is a call for a special prosecutor, as in the case of Watergate, where in fact there was a crime committed. Now, I'm not sure that there's a difference in the crimes, because information was basically stolen. And clearly, Trump's campaign seems to have more than a share of Russian spies or whatever on his payroll.
You don't know that. I don't think, Tom. Right. But what you do know is that from the very beginning, Trump has been playing up Putin and saying how wonderful Putin is, and he's a good guy, and all of the rest of that stuff. And one in one makes two, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I agree. And I asked. I asked both Liz Warren's office and Richard Neal's office to ask the Mass delegation to demand a federal inquiry in the form of a special prosecutor. And they said this is yet to be decided back then, but my sense is that this particular issue is very, very serious.
But you don't Tom, you don't believe for a single second that the Republicans in the United States Senate in the majority or in the majority in the House of Representatives are going to call for a special prosecutor. Had it been the other way around.
Well, I agree, Alan, but I do feel that the Democrats are being too quiet about this. And I think they need the Republicans, if you notice, they make a lot of noise and they get a lot of press.
Yeah, that's true. But if there's this is quite a shock that the Russians would really do that. I mean, it's extraordinary. Well, Tom, thank you for calling. I appreciate it very much.
All right.
Okay. So let's see. We'll now go to Bart in Williamstown. All right. That's you, Bart. That's you. You're on the air. Go ahead.
My neighbor caught a skunk in a have a heart trap 10 days ago.
Uh-huh. This is very important. Go ahead.
They opened the door. The skunk did not spray. And the next morning, the skunk was still there, but it disappeared in the course of the day.
You know, what happens is, I read about this because I was up all night, educating myself on how to do this thing. So here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get a blanket, preferably an old one, which you can throw away. Then you go very close. I'm not kidding you. You go very close.
Same as a parrot.
Yeah, you go very close to the thing, making sure that he's not stomping his feet, his front feet, and turning around with his behind towards you, because that means he's going to spray, right?
Right.
So now very close, and you're supposed to hum. So you're humming, come from Alabama, and then you put the very quietly you slip it over the have a heart, and then you take the handle and you take them more than 3 miles away, unless your name is Alan Chartok and you write columns about the police department, because in Massachusetts there is a rule that says you can shoot them but you can't transport them. Isn't that something? But as to your point about what happens, I read about that also. These are nocturnal creatures, these skunks, right? And so what happens is they are not about to leave the trap until they're ready to, because they're disoriented from the daytime.
Did you ask the skunk about his politics?
Yes, and he said definitely he was voting for Trump. But anyway,
I'm not surprised.
But anyway, thank you so much for the great call. Appreciate it. Bye.
Bye.
All right, let's see here. Now we are going to go to Peter in Niskayuna. All right. Oops, that's wrong. Hang that up. Where's Peter in Niskayuna? Oh, there he is, number 4. Peter in Niskayuna. There you are. Go ahead.
You got me?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to try and share a skunk story with you, but you got all the facts. You got the fact that they're nocturnal and that they're pretty sleepy in the daytime and easy to have just amble away.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, I learned last night while looking on YouTube and seeing how it's done, is you never really want to do this. I mean, we had a guy who lived up the street from us when we first moved to Alford, Massachusetts, and the skunk was in the well house. And he says, you have to grab the skunk by his hind legs.
Oh, come on.
And shoot him. I swear. This guy,
oh, come on.
That's what the guy said.
Sir.
I said, are you kidding? So we put a board down into the well house, and somehow he got himself out of there.
Okay, as long as he doesn't shoot first.
Thanks a lot, Peter. Appreciate it. Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. This is not a program about skunks. That's the bonus question. We're talking about Obama and international relations and where we are and why the Russians would do what we think they've been doing. Let's go to Martha. All right, Martha. Your turn, Martha.
Hi, yes. Unfortunately, I got an answer to the skunk question, too. I had a skunk in a have a heart, and I was told you put a sheet over it.
That's right.
Trap,
that's
and
right.
I did, and I opened it up. It went out, you know, right away, and nobody got sprayed. But, you know, I just walked by. I have a 95-year-old friend who puts food out, and she has about 5 or 6 little skunks coming to eat. And it's on our porch. And I came down to visit her, and I walked right by them about 3 feet away. They, didn't pay any attention, but they're very peaceful. She goes out, walks by them, and no problem. They're actually very peaceful little creatures.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. I have a friend who shall go nameless, but who lives right near me. And he taught at the Rudolf Steiner School in Great Barrington. And one day he went down into his basement, and there was the two cats and the dog, or the two dogs and the cat, and the skunk, all eating their food.
So, I believe it.
So he made an explanation point, and the skunk let go.
And, oh, really?
And really hit him. And he went to the Steiner School where he was teaching, and the secretary said, "Mr. So-and-so, you can't come in here. You
well,
can't
I
come
think
in.
They know whether you have good intentions or not. I had a German shepherd who was very peaceful. She ran up to a skunk, and I expected her to be sprayed, but it didn't spray her, and she came back. I had another shepherd that met a skunk, and she started barking and snapping at it. I ran down to grab her before she killed it, and we both got sprayed.
What did you use to get the spray off?
Oh, well... they say, you know, things like vinegar or tomato juice, but
tomato juice was no good. We tried that. That was our first thing. Then there was somebody told us Messingale's douche powder worked, and that was terrible. That didn't work at all. In fact, it was worse than nothing. And now there's a product on the market called Skunk Off, and we've used that, and I think highly successfully.
As I say, they're usually very peaceful. You don't want to startle them. If they tap their back feet, it means that they're worried and they may spray.
Exactly. I also read last night that they can do damage to the foundation of your home, that they could go in and start digging around the foundation of your home, which is also our other resident who happens to be a gopher. Does that, and he's brazen. He comes out all the time now. We have to go do something about him. But it's not going to be putting a have-a-heart trap out, because I know I'll get another skunk.
Oh.
Don't you see?
Well, maybe the skunk learned not to go into it.
I doubt it very much. They don't have that kind of intelligence. Martha, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back to talk to Jim and Lee.
Support for WAMC comes from Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the Capital Region and beyond. Marketing creative and business ideas since 1996, imediaconsult.com. HMT at the Spa Little Theater beginning their 32nd season with Shrek the Musical, weekends October 15th through 30th at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. The Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York, open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, hydecollection.org. Stommel Stringed Instruments, downtown Amherst and Poughkeepsie, providing sales, service, and rentals of violins, violas, cellos, and bows. Restorations and appraisals, open Tuesday through Saturday, stommelstring.com. And the Whistling Kettle, helping to promote tea culture in the Capital Region with over 150 teas and menu of sweet and savory selections. TheWhistlingKettle.com for live chat.
Okay, now don't be talking to me about how, you know, we don't talk about serious subjects. I gave you the choice. I said you could talk about our international relations, or, bonus question, you could talk about skunks. An awful lot of people want to talk about skunks. So I'm going to tell you very quickly what really happened. Today is my 46th anniversary with the great Roselle. And I'm very you know, concerned about this, because when I left the house, she was furious with me. I don't know that I'm going to be able to get back in. Our next door neighbor brought the trap over. He had borrowed it, and we wanted to get the woodchuck. I thought he set it up, but he didn't. He didn't set it up. It was closed. It was just sitting there. About 11:30 last night, I woke up from my first 2.5 hours, my only 2.5 hours last night, and all of a sudden, whoom, the room fills with skunk stuff. So I'm sure that that skunk has gone into what my next door neighbor had put out there, and that's what had happened. So I was up all night. I was reading about how you get skunks, the sheets, the blankets, the transporting. I all night long I was looking at it on YouTube and these guys showing. And by the way, all of the people who did the thing with YouTube were showing how they put the skunk, covered skunk, on the back of their, guess what, truck. Now, let me tell you something right now. I don't own a truck, but I've always wanted a truck. But Roselle always says to me, what are you going to use your truck for? I say, I don't know. Now I have a good reason for getting a truck, so I could put the skunk on the back of the truck. It turns out when I went outside that there was no skunk in the trap, so I was up all night for nothing at all. Go figure, right? Okay, let's go to Jim in Malta. Wants to talk about Trump's Russian connection. I like that because that's a serious subject. Okay. Okay, Jim, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Just to start off, I think a show about skunks and Trump combined seems kind of appropriate. I read an article, I think it might have been the Atlantic Monthly some time ago when Trump was first running, and they talked about his Russian connection. And his Russian connection began when, after so many bankruptcies, he could not get any financing for any of his projects. And he was in really deep financial trouble. And he was pointed in a direction. He borrowed money from these Russian oligarchs. So one wonders, how much did he borrow and how much leverage they have over him?
Or otherwise known as, how much was the VIG?
Yeah.
That's a very
and
interesting story.
That's not being brought up every other day against Trump, because going after Hillary constantly about the emails is like, enough's enough.
Well,
like
I think
comparing the end of the world to a traffic ticket.
Yeah, I think that's about over now. I don't think that's what they're going to be doing. Look, you know what they do. They do anything they can. If they have nothing else, they'll go back to that. But,
yeah.
Jim, thank you very much for a very good call. Appreciate it a lot, and I'm glad you took us seriously about our number one question. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I had raccoons in my attic, so that's...
Oh, that's bad. That's bad. Yeah. But the worst of all is red squirrels in your attic. Then you're in trouble. Thanks
a
lot.
I told my daughters that I had raccoons in my attic, and they said, yeah, we always knew that.
Thanks again.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you.
Okay, now look, we're down to the last caller. You want to be on the radio. You say, wow, I don't like that shot talk. I wish I could be on the radio. Now is the time. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Let's go to Lee. All right, Lee, you're on. Go ahead, Lee.
Alan, one skunk and one Trump comment.
All right.
The skunk comment is an old rural legend about throwing a sheet over the Havahart. Playing Barry Manilow really loud for about 3 days and feeding nothing but hot peppers. When you open the door, they run so far you never see them again.
Oh, yeah. Then what happened?
Then they run in the woods and they're gone.
Yeah, well,
maybe we should try it with Donald. Maybe he'd run away as well.
Yeah, nah. You know, you got anything to say about Russia?
Well, I don't.
China, getting off the plane in China, they gave him a hard time. Remember that?
The thing about Trump is the guy is so inappropriate in so many ways, it's almost impossible to come up with a new vocabulary for the latest problem.
Well, it's...
You know, I mean, you've covered it. You of all people, have covered it extensively. The guy's just, you know, he's basically creating an empire for himself after the fact. He doesn't want the job. He just wants the publicity.
I think he wants the job. I think he wants the publicity. But thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Okay. No, I think I did. No, I put her on hold. Now I'm going to put her off. Yeah, okay. That she's off now. Okay, we will now go to Bob in Albany. All right, Bob, you're on. Your turn, Bob. Bob. Uh-oh. Did I do something wrong? Let me press number one again. Oh, I see what I did wrong. I see. All right. Bob in Albany. Are you there, Bob?
Hello?
Are you there?
I'm here.
Good. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
So I don't know if you caught in the Times today about Trump's reaction to Obama being dissed on the runway and when he landed in China.
Yeah.
But I think it was very illustrative of the kind of guy he is.
Sure.
His response was that he would have told his pilot to turn around and get him the hell out of there. There was no runway, no stairway or red carpet waiting for him.
Well, there was a red carpet. There was a red carpet. That's what's interesting.
Right.
It's just but here's the interesting thing. Here's this guy who's being accused of playing footsie with the Russians, and he's bawling out Obama for not getting angry about the way he was treated getting off the Chinese plane. That's pretty interesting, isn't it?
What I thought was fascinating was he felt comfortable saying he would have turned around and flown away, which meant the whole G20, all the other 19 countries that had sent leaders prepared to do negotiations that probably had taken months of preliminary work by their various subordinates, would have been thrown out the window because he didn't like the way he was treated on the runway. I think that just says volumes about this guy's unfitness for office. It's just stunning to me.
Okay, Bob, you've had your say, and I appreciate your call. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Yeah, bye. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. So you want to be on the radio, now's the point. I have to talk to my friend Joe, who is answering these calls, about line number two. That seems to be something that I don't know what that is. Okay, no, I know that. Okay, so now we'll go to line number three, to Linda. All right, Linda, you're on.
Yes. Hi, this is Linda from Greenwich. I live in Cambridge, Allen.
Yeah.
And a loyal listener, by the way.
Right.
But this is of an animal nature. When we first built our house in Cambridge, we cleared the land.
Right.
And we had a little deck that was to become, and since has, a porch. But knowing from having been to the zoo in Philadelphia where I grew up that red lights are not seen by the nocturnal animals, we put up a red light and put out a dish of dog food on the back porch, and then someone remembered we had done it. And when we looked, there was a skunk with two babies, a raccoon with two babies, and a possum with two babies, all eating at the dish together.
Wow.
And then one of the little raccoons went over and sniffed the tushy of the mother skunk and jumped back. And then the mother raccoon and the mother skunk looked at each other. It was like Bambi.
Sounds like sounds like a folk song.
I know it does. I know. Go ahead. Write it for the Ramblers. I'd love to hear it.
It's a very good idea. Okay, listen.
Love in the animal world. We should learn something from them.
We should. Thank you, Linda. Appreciate your call very much. All
take
right.
Take care.
Right. Bye-bye. Okay, and now, see, my line number two says somebody's been waiting for 3 minutes and 12 seconds, but I don't know who that name is, but there's nobody up there. So I'm going to just take a chance, because I don't think it's right that if they've been waiting for 3 minutes and 12 seconds, 23 seconds, that I don't know who they are. Okay, so here we go. Line number, line number two. There it is. Okay, Kathy, are you on?
Yes, this is Kathy.
I'm so sorry, Kathy. We kept you waiting. We had a little dysfunction.
Well, you know, that's okay. It wasn't that long.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
I just wanted to get back to international stuff.
Sure.
I can't believe that the story about Trump's former campaign chairman
right.
and his dealings
with Ukraine,
has gotten so buried. You know, talk about your media faux pas. I mean, if they wanted to, you know, I don't know why it isn't like plastered all over everywhere. You know, what are the Democrats are all sitting on their hands?
Well, I have
you
a
know?
Feeling.
I mean, that would, I mean, with the way he speaks of Putin and this guy who was his number one guy being so involved with them financially. I mean, give me a break. I mean, this is horrible.
Well, one does wonder whether or not the Democrats will get it together. Now, my feeling is that if they can get something substantial, they're going to leak it to the press. Because, you know, when the press is always doing, quote, investigations, baloney. What they're doing is, you know, waiting for somebody to hand it to them.
I guess the Republicans don't do the same, because every time there's any slightest question about,
Hillary,
you know, a Democratic candidate, you know, it gets plastered. You know, they're always talking about, you know, that the newspapers and everything are left-wing. I'm sorry. You know, they're not, you know, jumping on the Republicans, you know, to smear them like they smear, you know, Democrats,
or Kerry,
i.e.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton.
Or Kerry. Remember that? The Swift boat, the whole thing. Hey.
Well, yeah, that was, you know, I mean, and so, you know, when the Republicans get on there and they say, you know, oh, that liberal media, right?
Yeah.
Don't they use a phrase similar to that?
Sure. Hey,
They're full of it.
I'm not even going to ask you full of what. Kathy, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This system isn't working quite right. I'll have to ask Ray Graff to come to the deck. 1-800-323-9262. We'll go to John now. John, you're on. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you, Alan? Just calling in reference to, I guess, one of the numbers that's been thrown around as far as illegal immigrants go. The big number has been 11 million. And I just, you know, I always think about where they come up with that number. And I just happen to be going, like, through some archival stuff, and minutia, I guess, some of it in Guinness's Book of World Records. But in 1990, the United States had the most illegal immigrants come through our borders in 1990, over 800,000 in 1 year from Mexico alone. And that's what they documented. I don't know what the preceding years were, and I certainly know the years after, it was much more than probably 800,000 a year, if you do the math. Even 100 a day comes to hundreds and hundreds of thousands, and they say that sometimes in a day, 500-600 people come over the border illegally, whether it's over land or the big one is also under the ground in the tunnels. So
that's certainly possible. But on the other hand, it is interesting that all of the information we're getting now is there are more people going the other way than coming this way, and I'm wondering about that.
That's an interesting thing too. But I just, again, when the media throws around the 11 million number, it makes me think, like, you know, since 1990 alone, if indeed 500,000 came over, you're talking about 20, 30, 40 million people that don't belong here. So what I'd like to finish up with is I think with what I just said, 11 million people, I don't think would have – it would be easier for our country to absorb 11 million than it would be 30 or 40. And I say that because of the strain that illegal immigrants put on hospitals, especially in urban areas.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why most of them operate in the red. And the other one is, I can't imagine there's 11 million. I would like to, you know, NPR is definitely, you know, they go along with the 11 million. I would like somebody to do a little bit more investigation.
Well, I'm sure you're right. I thank you for your call. Good points.
Thank you,
Alan. Appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. I got to take a break. Ray Graff will come in here, fix this machine, and then we'll be right back.
Sit
Support for WAMC comes from Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery. George Heigl, Cowan's representative, specializing in evaluating, marketing, buying, and selling of jewelry, fine art, historic firearms, American Indian art, and more. 518-396-7974. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie presenting Circus Circus, featuring the Beechnut Miniature Circus alongside circus paintings by Everett Shin, Norman Rockwell, and more. ArkellMuseum.org. Fulton County Tourism, hiking, biking, museums, shopping, leaf peeping, and more. Fall events include the Eagle Mills Arts Crafts Fair, September 17th and 18th, 44lakes.com for calendar. And Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts. Member SIPC, Edward Jones, making sense of investing. EdwardJones.com/Tom McRae.
Whoops, that didn't work. Okay. Who's in there?
Try line one.
Okay, Martin, you're on from Albany. Go, Martin. Thank you, Uncle Ray.
Yeah, Alan, a little expounding on what the woman who was on recently said about why the media is not speaking more about Trump's being more Trump's associations. He's got associations with folks who are so aligned with white supremacist ideas and actual Nazi ideas that are welling up in Europe. And these folks are unabashedly, the worst of mankind. And the press doesn't seem to be focusing on that at all. I don't see how these things aren't being really put to the American public.
Well, it's interesting.
In a more profound way.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that you say that because if you take a look at Angela Merkel, she's in real trouble in Germany right now for the first time. And Trump is doing so well. According to the polls this morning, the CNN poll, he was leading Clinton by a couple of points. Not in the key states, and his chances still aren't that good, but he is leading her in this national poll. So wait a second. I know it's always the press's fault, but we talk about it here every day. But if you read the New York Times, they do too. Look, I read the New York Times every night, in the middle of the night, 3 times. If I'm not up with a skunk, I'm up with the New York Times.
Listen to CNN. Yeah. I listen to all of the stations.
You shouldn't.
And I don't hear the outrage that I would assume we would hear in this country.
It's not the way they do it, but I'll tell you what it all comes down to, and I think your point is well taken about the white supremacists, and that is that is what this immigration question is sort of endemic to all of these countries, like Germany, keep them out. United States, keep them out. I think that's a very good point that you're making, and I think that may be what this election is about, and that's why he keeps coming back to immigration as a subject. Well, in any case, I thank you for your call. I appreciate it very much. All right. And now we're going to go to Ken in Orange County. All right, Ken, you're on.
Yes, hello, Dr. Sharkov. Thanks for taking my call.
You may call me Alan. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, you're going to think I'm really smart, but actually all I'm doing is repeating practically verbatim something that I heard on NPR a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's really important and should get a larger audience. And I would love it if you were to discuss this on your On the Media program, which I enjoy very much. On the NPR Science Friday program, they had an analysis of how many times science questions come up during the primary debates, which, of course, is a few months ago. But this was when the Ebola crisis was going on, and this was when the huge climate talks were going on in Paris. And even though with both of these major science issues, throughout the entire primary debate, there was about three questions that ever came up on science. And what the science program pointed out, so again, I can't take credit for this, is that science questions, first of all, they're just plain important. I mean, what we're going to do with climate change, what we're going to do with Zika, I mean, these are legitimate issues that need to be discussed. However, beyond that, there are also questions that go beyond the red meat issues, which can monopolize debates and bring down the quality of debate.
Okay, Ken, but bottom line is, come on, because we've got a lot of people behind you, the bottom line is what? The bottom line is, Ken?
Well, that it would elevate the quality of the debate, and that it would mean that, like, Donald Trump can't just bully his way out. If somebody asks him a specific question about how should NASA be funded, or should we be spending the money on manned science flights as opposed to unmanned, which is so much less expensive.
Well, but Ken,
you can't bully your way through that answer. You actually have to have an articulate answer.
By the way, yes, you can. You know, I mean, I always used to use one essay to answer all the composition questions on the Spanish regions. No matter what they ask for, I gave them that. And you can believe me that if anybody says blue, he'll say blue and immigrants, and he will, and he'll get away with it. Ken, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, and now we're going to go to Bibi in Boston Spa on line number 9. Is it BB?
I was just calling because I totally agree with what you said about President Obama. I did not see that film.
Run to see it. You'll love it. Go ahead.
I definitely will see it. But I just have to say, I just can't even understand or comprehend the fact that we potentially, in this country, we could go from Michelle and President Obama to, like, Donald Trump and Melania. I mean, to me, that's, like, ludicrous. And the fact that, like, you just mentioned he's, like, a little ahead, which doesn't really mean anything at this point, but I think it's, like, really scary.
No, I think you're right on the money. The point really is here is that half this country is buying it. Whether or not they, you know, electorally you can win if you don't get Texas or California or this kind of thing. But the fact of the matter is that that's not what is the sociology of the thing is what's scaring a lot of people. Don't you see?
Yeah, I have a really hard time. Like, President Obama is so articulate. He's so intelligent. And he has never been, I think, given the full credit that he deserves. Because for whatever reason, you want to call it race, whatever, that you can go down that road. But, I mean, just the fact that, you know, he didn't exceed at this or didn't do well at that. I mean, just as a person and as a human being, what a great role model. And there's not going to be anybody else that will replace him and I think give that to the American people. I don't see it with either candidate, but I mean, the fact that Donald Trump is even in this race is just, you know, a joke to me. But
it's not a joke, BB. It's very serious. And I hope you know that.
It is very serious. But I'm saying the fact that we're in this and this is what we have in this country. Like, American people can look at him and say, I'm going to vote for him.
You bet.
I have a really hard time with that.
When Joe took your call, he said you want to talk about Obama, Trump, and skunk. What did you want to say about the skunk?
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to tell you that I thought it was pretty interesting, like the first half of the show, that all of the calls coming in were all about skunks. And I just think that's funny because it's either going to call and talk about Trump or you're going to call and talk about skunks. And most people call to talk about skunks.
By the way, don't think it escaped our attention either. But, you know, there's something something to be said about real-life problems like having a skunk in a habitat trap and almost fainting when you're trying to figure out how to get him out of there. Thank you very much, BB. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Blanche. All right. Blanche, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Can you hear me?
Very much. Very much.
Oh, hey. Blanche Manchild from Saugerties here.
Gotcha.
Well, less Trump, more skunk. Am I right?
Yes.
I think that's just...
Well, that does seem to be the prevailing opinion here. When I thought about...
It's true.
Today,
well, they're more related than I think we may be letting on, but either way.
Well, I've been...
I firstly wanted to...
Yeah. Go ahead.
Wanted to reiterate, I agree with BB and that I agree with you about what you said about Obama. You're right on, man. Really, really nailed it on that one. But... I have a small anecdote about trapping skunks that I think could come in. I heard you tell your story about being up late on YouTube with the skunky house. Sounds like a college kid, but we all know you're past those years, of course.
Yes, I am. Very much
great,
so.
Great, great. But skunks love blackberry brandy.
Oh,
if you leave
boy.
A couple eye drops of a blackberry brandy near your Havahard trap, they can't resist it, and you'll go out, and he'll be tuckered out and tired like a sleeping baby. Put him in the back of that truck, bring him on down, let him go in the wild, and all will be well.
You're skipping a couple of steps. So wait a second. The skunk has a little of that brandy, goes to sleep. What do you do now? You pick him up?
No, in the trap, Alan. In the trap.
No.
The brandy in the trap. That's a little risky, but if you go get one of those, you know, Breaking Bad kind of yellow all-over suits, then you can release them pretty easily. That might have one of those down at Aubuchon Hardware in Great Barrington there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got a big trap. I don't really know how to work it. I'm not built for this stuff.
But if you need a hand, Blanchman Child can come help you with your Havahard trap. I got plenty of brandy. I got an eyedropper. We'll just do this thing quick like that.
You're terrific. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go to, or as Ray Graff would say, hum hum. Let's go to Nancy in Remsen. She's on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, line 6. There she is. Okay, Nancy in Remsen, you're on.
Hello. Thank you. Love the program. And this is about the woman, agreeing with that woman that talked about Manafort. I saw the interview by, I'm not sure what PBS or CBS or what channel, but when he was interviewed and asked about did he receive any money from them, he was not able to look at the camera like I've never seen him not look before, because he's always been.
Now, who are we talking about? Are we talking about Manafort or are we talking about Trump himself?
Manafort.
Okay, go ahead, yeah.
So he replied... He never took any cash. And then all those...
Who pays in cash?
Right, right. So he evaded the question that way by saying he never took any cash, but then all those listings from Ukraine or Russia or whatever came out where his name was, I don't know how many times and how many hundred thousands and or millions... that nobody could figure out how he got it, but his name was on the list. So I just think he was totally, totally lying. Both his body said so and the fact that he used cash. And I just think more should be made of Manafort's connections as well as Trump's connections with Russia and not knowing where Ukraine was and so
and maybe
on,
that's why we don't see Manafort around anymore.
They knew
this is a real vulnerability. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Okay,
and now we'll go to, David on line number 4. That's David. Okay, David, you're on.
Hi, I just want to say I saw the clip of Hillary talking to the press pool at the back of her plane and talking about Trump's failure to release his tax returns, and she has the vibrancy and excitement of a wet tea bag, a used wet tea bag. She needs to just say, Trump says he's a good businessman. He's a liar. He's had this many bankruptcies. He's left this many small businessmen holding the bag for this much money. Trump says he's never settled a lawsuit. He's a liar. He settled this lawsuit here and that lawsuit there. Trump says he's never done anything crooked. He's a liar. He's made a campaign contribution to the Florida Attorney General in return for which she dropped the suit. But where is she going to get the cojones to behave like a vibrant campaigner? That's a horrible issue for people who fear and dread Trump, as I do. And by the way, I could talk to you more about skunks if you're interested.
Well, go ahead. Say something about a skunk.
Okay, I got one trapped, and I have a heart trapped in my garden. And I called the Woodstock Police Department saying, can you help me?
That's
and they
funny.
Said, is it rabid? So I made the mistake of saying no. I shouldn't have lied to them, of course. But what I should have said is, I'm not sure, but I think I see foam around his mouth. And then, of course, it would have been their obligation to come and pick him up, and I wouldn't have had to deal with the thing.
And how did you deal with it?
I had to pay someone $150.
Ah, a trapper.
But the good news was he came over and he asked why I had a trap out. And I said, because something's eating my tomatoes. And he cocks his ear and he goes, oh, yeah, it's the chipmunks. Can't you hear them? Well, since he told me it was a chipmunks, I put rat traps inside my garden. I call them have a head traps. And I kill the chipmunks and they have left my tomatoes alone. They're very cute outside my garden, Alan. But inside my garden, it's death to all chipmunks. It's sort of like the James Bond organization, death to all spies.
Yeah, yeah. But I want to come back to your original question, David, about this whole Hillary thing. You know, I've interviewed Hillary a couple of times, one-on-one, and for half an hour when she was senator. And I have to tell you, she can be delightful. Now, I voted for Bernie, as you know.
So did I.
Yeah, but nevertheless, she can be delightful. She can be funny.
She doesn't need to be delightful. She needs to be brassy and bold and in your face. And
the problem with that is if you do that, we have such a sexist society that if you do that, somebody's going to say, that's unladylike. That's not right. I don't like her for that reason. So she's got to really play it down the middle, don't you think?
Yeah, and she needs some advice about exactly where that middle line is, where she can be in his face without being unladylike. And I'm sure that line exists somewhere. I don't know where it is. I'm not going to pretend that I know where it is, even though I'm only a year younger than you. I don't have that kind of expertise that you do.
Well, that's too kind. Hey, David, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Bye.
You're welcome.
Okay, we've got a Jim in Matamoros. Okay, our old friend Jim. All right, Jim, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I wanted a pony, but the closest I got was a big billy goat. One day I was out there trying to clean out underneath the stall, and the broom started pushing back on me. And it turned out it was a skunk under there. I managed to get him in a paper bag.
You what?
I heard the old wives' tale that if you got their feet off the ground, they couldn't spray you.
Yeah, I had that one, too. Somebody said
grabbed
that
the middle of the back, picked him up, skunk turned around, bit me in the finger.
Oh, boy.
And then I had to wind up going to the doctor.
I would bet, and I'll bet you they gave you rabies shots.
No, they didn't, because I was allergic to a lot of things back at the time there. And yes, they were using duck embryo, so... I just had to put peroxide on it.
And that's the other thing they tell you. When you go on the YouTube, when they give you all the instructions and they show you how to do it, they say you must wear very thick leather gloves with no holes in it for exactly that reason. So I'm glad you brought that up. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Well,
for the
chemist out there, I think, if I remember right, the toxic principle is 6M mercaptan. The same chemical as in human sweat.
Oh, that's interesting. We'll go to Lisa. All right, Lisa, you're on, Lisa. Go ahead.
Hi.
But don't take too long because we're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, sure. I'm a Democrat. I voted for Bernie. Not thrilled with Hillary, but of course I'll vote for her. And I guess my just thought on Trump is if this country votes for Trump, we deserve what we get, really?
Nah, we don't.
Well, no, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, it is a bad way. But I mean, if the majority, if he does get in, I think it's going to be even scarier than we think because all the people who are voting for him have expectations because he's telling them one thing, but as he's proven, he changes his mind every day. So not only are the people who didn't vote for him are going to be not happy and surprised every day, but even the people who vote for him, I think, in the end, will not be happy.
Okay, but you're off because it's the end of the show. I thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. All right. So that is the end of the show. And then I read something, if I can find it. Yeah, here we are. Let's see. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Kent Hicks Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restorations, serving Western Massachusetts for over 25 years. KentHicksConstruction.com. Poughkeepsie Farm Project, connecting food, farm, and community, organically grown CSA shares, available for the fall 2016 season, farmproject.org. Borden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts, and service to customers throughout Western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years, bordenandperrin.com. Gazebo, Northampton, Massachusetts, an independent lingerie shop specializing in bra and post-mastectomy fittings, providing support for the Pioneer Valley for almost 40 years, the-gazebo.com. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy, Joe Makowitz, who answered your calls, our producers Jessica Blaustein Marshall, Ray Graff tried to fix the computer. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.